Oh, hello there. My name's Brody. I'm a sculptor at NECA, and I'm here to tell you that if you didn't watch Dino Riders, Dino Saucers, Denver the Last Dinosaur, Jim Henson's Dinosaurs, or Cadillac and Dinosaurs, or Mask, randomly, your childhood was trash. You know, it's a bulk price kind of deal. Right. And then you got shipping concerns and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So I guess the ultimate question is which one of these companies are going to get out their ass and give us some official Mask merchandise?
Good segue. That's a good segue. yeah, man, I don't know. Isn't it crazy of all the big Tenor. Like of all the big, other than Street Sharks, or I think Street Sharks, which I would argue is not even that big. They're kind of they're kind of like there with Visionaries. They're, you know, Visionaries, they're our Air Raiders, you know, those were kind of like the last tenet to me. Those are kind of the last spokes of the 80s, 90s.
Yeah, it was the end of, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a market for all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And everybody loves Mask. Mask was that like cool thing that it was like this weird bridge between your Star Wars figures and your Mask and your G.I. Joes and your Transformers. And they're all in this like cool package. And I don't know a single toy collector in our age range who wouldn't love Mask toys. But
I think
cost is probably a big one. Just the cost of and I'm surprised by this. This is something I'm, again, just pulling out of thin air, but learning as I go, learning over the years, it seems like vehicles are crazy expensive to make. You know, look at Hasbro's Ghost Rider car. What was that, like $300, $400 or $300 or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's like $350 or something like that. And that's just a car with electronics. It's not even, it doesn't transform or have any action features.
Yeah.
The Ghost Rider car doesn't transform. Yeah. I don't want it.
What? Yeah, right?
Turtle Van.
I can definitely see
money, but they're big. Those are big ones too. So I don't know if you go back to the mask size. I don't know.
See, the thing is we're in a weird time where everything is 6-inch scale. Yeah. You know, we're 1/12 scale and. At that point, it's like, well, what do you do, right? Because like you said, you know, with Hasbro trying to get the Engine Avengers out there, they got the for G.I. Joe, they got the Vamp, and the Vamp is modestly $100. I was shocked when that was priced at $100 with a figure. But now you add gimmicks and action features and stuff like that, so I definitely see it being hard, even at a 3-inch scale or whatever they were, 2.5. But even at a 6-inch scale, it'd be more impossible. Me as a fan, I'd be okay if it was G.I. Joe classified line, but Mask figures, or make them all deluxe boxes with backpacks that transform.
It's probably because they're thinking like, I mean, what's the, even at that scale, what's like the average cost for a G.I. Joe action figure with a vehicle? What would that be on the shelf? And how much would that cost? And while you have us, who would be like, I'm gonna go buy, you know, Thunderhawk or whatever when it hits the shelf. Even of us, like once you get like Thunderhawk and Rhino, maybe, three or four of the main ones. Are you really, how deep are you gonna go in this line? Because there was only like two or three waves or something. There's kind of like these obscure weird ones, and so they can make new ones, of course, but then you lose the nostalgia.
I mean, the nostalgia's half the thing, because I don't know if you remember, in the, I think it was early 90s, there was a cartoon called Vortech, and it was pretty much Mask, and they even repurposed some of the molds. I forget which one, but not a lot, but only a few, but it was cheaper plastic. It felt more like play schoolish than, you know, like a actual like toy line. I loved Mask since as far back as I can remember, so I ate that up, and I bought all the Vortex stuff anyways when I was when I was a kid. But I think that's the last time we've really seen that being like in the mainstream or, you know, on shelves, except for, I mean, you have, you know, Ramen Toys doing their little like hush hush thing right now.
Right.
Which is cool because they're scratching a niche and they're filling a void for people. You know, and that stuff they're doing is pretty cool, but it just pulls, like, and even like you mentioned, Visionaries, like Hasbro is sitting on a lot of these properties that so many people would just kill to have a modern representation in their collection. And they just, you know, like I said, can even sprinkle them in.
Visionaries today, just to be the naysayer, like, can you imagine trying to market that to like anyone today? It would be purely a nostalgic, like the handful of fans that supported Visionaries for one season of the cartoon or, you know.
Yeah, but those are kick-ass designs.
That said, now that I'm talking about it, I bet they could do something with Visionaries where it was sort of more like Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh, or, you know, where their chest animal is more, you know, they could probably get someone smarter than me to get creative with it. Like, all right, we're going to do this. It's going to be similar designs. They're knights from a mystical whatever.
Yeah.
Hologram animals, but, and we're going to add a collectible element to it with trading cards. And
I was going to say trading cards and little Tamagotchis.
Yeah. So.
I can already tell there's gonna be a magic set based off of it now. I can
feel it. Oh, magic set! Yeah, we're doing everything, whatever.
Everything.
What was the last one?
Fallout Doctor coming out.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
They had Doctor.
Yeah, just recently, my good buddy here, about 3 years ago, just randomly called me. He lives like right up the street, and he's like, did you ever play Magic as a kid? And I was like, yeah. I mean, I got some of the first cards I still have. I mean, they're not worth anything. They're still like worthless. I don't have any of the good first cards.
Yeah, no black.
I don't have any unopened packs, unfortunately. He does. He has an unopened pack, and it's like worth, I think it's valued at like $800 or something like that.
Wow.
He was like, yeah, I just went and randomly bought like a couple packs of Magic, and it's kind of fun. We should play. And so, like, for the last 2-3 years, I've got an entire bookcase of nothing but Magic from the last 2-3 years. They release so much crap. It's so much. It was way too much.
So much.
It's just constant.
I had got, over the past couple of years, like, I got to a point where I'm like, I've always bought, you know, like, a quantity that I could keep track of like all the newer sets, whether I played or whatnot with it, or like I always bought some packs and stuff. And I think over the past like 3 years, there's probably at least half a dozen sets I very missed completely coming out. Or I was just like, I literally you just released a new set like 3 days ago, like a week ago. It feels like at this point, and as a person who has a lot of hardcore Magic fans as friends, I can assure people that the fans are agitated with it.
Yeah.
Hardcore Magic fans are really, really not super excited about Optimus Prime popping up in their Magic sets.
That was pretty cool.
as a Transformer nerd, like fan from like a very early age, like I could probably call that it's gonna be one of my longest fandoms.
Oh yeah.
But I was excited for that. But I was definitely the minority in that.
Yeah.
It's like,
did you get the Secret Lair set? I think it was a Secret Lair. Are you familiar with the Secret Lair stuff?
Oh yeah, no, that's like I enjoy the Secret Lair stuff. It's like one of the few things that I'm like, all right, maybe I'll keep up with that. But then I stopped doing that because they pump. It used to be like one every couple months, but now it's like 4 a month, and I'm like.
Yeah, I haven't sprung it in, but they did have a Transformer. They did have the Transformer one, and I thought about it. But then that same buddy bought me the Frazetta ones, the Frank Frazetta set. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, true.
The last one I got was the Jurassic Park kind of one.
Yeah. See, I want that.
Wait, right? Is it actually just Jurassic Park or just like a Jurassic Park adjacent?
Yeah.
Like it's, licensed?
It's called like Caves of something. I can't remember what it's called, but it's dinosaur themed. But then every pack has like a, you know.
Jurassic Park.
It's
a Jurassic Park themed card. Like there's Dennis Nedry and like other, like it's actually kind of cool how they integrated it. Which is one of the few things that I'm like sort of okay with is that they're making it like a playable card, but then there's the variant which makes it like theme based. Like they did it years ago, and
the card, and you're like, yeah, you're mostly you play a robot while everyone else is playing like wizards, and you're like, what? This isn't
right. Like they did it a few years ago. One of the first times they did it, they released a whole bunch of Godzilla cards inside that were like special cards in one of the sets. So it's like this card name, but it's like this variant is like Space Godzilla, and it's like literally just Godzilla on the card. So I think it's that is throwing the people off because. They're like, I want the card, but I really don't want Soundwave on my card, right? Like,
yeah, I could see that being a little odd.
Yeah, the secret layers are probably the best way to have done that and not agitate a lot of hardcore Magic fans. But like they did the Transformers card set they did a 3-pack like 10 or 15 years ago, and nobody wanted that thing. And then it blew up sometime in the past couple years. And same with the My Little Ponies one. They did a ponies 3-card My Little.
Well, I know they did a. Yeah. I know they did like a. Oh, one of the newest secret layers was, and he got my buddy got that too. He got it for his wife because his wife rides horses. And you got it. It's like all. I don't know if it's all.
It's horse. Yeah.
It's all horses. It's,
yeah.
It's a commander deck. So it's 40 cards, all horses.
Jesus,
it's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool like I can appreciate that. Like, that's kind of
right. Cool. Like those are,
and it's not but something that's it you is have like to get to stay up to date with the
right. Thing. Here's the main stuff. Here's the wonky thing. Like when they did the Walking Dead set, everybody got pissed, and I was like, no, don't get pissed at that because that's what you want them to do. You don't want them to mess with your wizards and dragons.
You want them to force feed it to you. Yeah.
Right, and then everybody.
It's also a way to get that property or whatever out there in a different media, you know? And if it works for that, because how many people are they bringing in who just care about those cards and are going to just get those cards, not to play them, but to collect them?
Yeah.
You know, for
the great secondary market.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to do their own thing with like the Transformers playable card game or whatever that they had, and that bombed, you know? So, I mean, it's another way to get fans that extra media and get them into Magic, you know, which is like that's like their bread and butter right now. I think
it's between that and D&D, it's like all their money.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
Now what if that stuff starts showing up in D&D?
You play?
No, D&D? They already have D&D Magic sets.
No, but other way around. Where Transformers and Walking Dead and all that show up in D&D.
Yeah.
I
think you're talking about Warhammer now.
Yeah, that's just Warhammer. But Transformers D&D is just Warhammer.
I remember when I was probably 16 or something, and I had saved up I had the money from my first job or whatever. I bought a bike with it and had some money left over. And I bought Cannondale, bought like this nice mountain bike. But I got it on sale, so I had saved up a certain amount for the bike, and then the bike ended up being cheaper than what I saved, so I had extra money, and I also collected comics at the time. So I was like, I'm gonna go blow this on comic. And, so I go to the comic store and I saw all these painted Warhammer figures, and I was like, what is this, you know? And I've heard about Dungeons and Dragons at the time, but I never played. And I just like became fascinated with Warhammer. So I don't know. I probably spent like $80 like that day on like all these Warhammer sets, thinking I'm going to go home and play this game with my cousin, who's also into like, he's in like Lord of the Rings, so he'd be into this, I bet. And go home, and I just spend like months painting these little miniatures because I loved it. Was fun. And then one day I was like, "Oh, I'm like, come over, we're gonna play this game." And then I realized it was hard, and like had a lot of rules. I was like, "Oh, this isn't fun at all." Like,
fucking, I'm out.
Yeah, pretty much. And so I
just want to play. I just want to paint.
Yeah, so right. That's basically what I did. I just painted Warhammer for like, I don't know, probably like a year or so. I would just buy random kits, put them together, paint them. Never played the game once until probably like about a year ago. I had a buddy here who's super into Warhammer, and he paints them all the time. That's like his hobby. And he came over to his house, nice. And you know, he taught me how to play. We had a good time. It's fun. But
games like that's always a fun time. Like Warhammer is a game I stayed away from. There's a game called HeroClix, and there mm-hmm. was like a mech warrior version.
Oh, mech warrior one? Of yeah. that. I think I've seen that before. Yeah.
I've talked about it a number of times. I'm still like unpacking things. I actually found like there was a mech warrior one and a mage knight one, and I recently found all my old clicks from those, and I was like, oh man, great, I don't know what to do with them now. Because the mech warrior ones were actually made out of metal.
Oh shit, okay.
So they're heavy. Like, yeah. And they had figure, like, it's a click, but it's like this tall, and it's like a massive, like, armor suit transport thing, you know, and it's like solid metal, so it's like very heavy. Mm-hmm. If you have somebody who throws a tantrum because you beat them, that thing's coming at your head.
Sounds like an infomercial in the 90s, solid metal, like compilation album.
Tonka trucks.
I went to a buddy's birthday party a few years, like a year ago. And he comes over to me at one point. And he's like, "Oh, I want to introduce this guy." I told him he worked for a toy company. He was pretty excited. This guy I know through work or whatever. So he goes over and he's like, you know, he's like, "Oh, this is Brody. He makes toys. He works and makes like turtles and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and stuff." And I was like, "Hey." And he was like, "Yeah, do you do HeroClix or whatever it's called?" And I was like, and this guy's like older than me. Like he's 50. So he was like 51, 52. And I was like, No, I don't. He's like, "Oh man, we have a big community here that plays Hero." I had like no idea, because when I think of like little kids that play with them. I don't know. Yeah. I don't really know anything about it much. I've seen them, but I don't know anything about the community or about people who play it. But this guy was telling me all about, like, here in Hawaii or in Honolulu, there's like this group that gets together a couple times a week sometimes, and they play nothing but HeroClix.
I played HeroClix for a solid probably year and a half, 2 years when it first came out, and decided that I didn't want any more part of that, because even back then, I was like, I already have too many things. I was like, I've already got too many different avenues that take up my money. I don't.
To me, I never played. It became a collecting thing. Like, I got to get these characters because I like these characters. And they wouldn't go anywhere. They wouldn't do anything. They would sit in a little, like, plastic tote with all their other buddies. And that's it. And eventually it was like, I'm good.
That's what I did with the, what was that thing that Disney killed? They were like the Disney, they're almost like a
Amiibo. Infinity.
Yeah, because those sculpts are amazing. They look so great. They were like,
that's why I bought them.
They were so cool. They look like Amiibo. The Disney Infinity figures. Same idea. They had something to do with a game that I never played or even looked into. But I was just going, and I'd see like the coolest looking, you know, stylized Disney figures sculpted amazingly.
Okay.
They did Star Wars. They did a whole bunch of stuff.
It's called Toys to Life, like Disney Infinity, Lego Dimensions, Skylanders, and Amiibo. But Amiibo is slightly different because there's not really like a standalone game. They just to put.
I got Amiibo too for Zelda and stuff like that.
But like Disney Infinity gave you like, it was a toy box style game where you got like you could go to, Hoth. Right, I'm just gonna throw it out there, but you could have Mr. Incredible be in Hoth, mm-hmm. and like have a special power, and like you could give it, like you can give him a transport of like a Boo as an elephant, which was like a Toys R Us exclusive one, but that you could like combine them all and stuff. But the sculpts and the designs were freaking amazing.
Yeah, they're great. They're really cool.
When those
cool.
Star Wars ones came out, I was like, oh, those are good. Hmm. And
I know for a while the Disney store, like shortly after those went away, they canceled it. The Disney store exclusive, they brought out more Star Wars ones in that style that were posable. So somebody smart was like, well, these are popular collectibles. Let's make them just collectibles. But I haven't seen them. So I don't know I don't even know if they make them anymore. If they just did like a couple of waves and killed it
I think they did just a couple waves to probably justify killing off the game. They were like, all right, we're going to toss some toys out there. And then once the sales jettison, we'll move on to the next thing. But I actively...
Oh, okay. So Disney Toy Box. I saw those. Those might be what you're talking about.
No, they're like Disney Infinity.
No, I did. But when Brody was saying they made them like articulated.
Yeah.
So I love those designs. Like those, they're just like you said, stylized. They're like chunky, cartoony.
Yeah, that's them.
And I love those designs. I wish they went further with that. I got my daughter a bunch of those when she was little, you know, like Mickey, Pluto. And then I had to get like, well, here's Chewbacca, and here's
And they weren't quite the quality, I would say, as far as I think that's the other thing about the Infinity ones is the paint was on point, like everything was on point about it. You know, they were cartoony and stylized, but they didn't. Like, man, I'm looking at it, maybe I should start collecting these.
They're super cool.
I'm looking at the Hulkbuster
one. But no Robin Hood.
And it's dope. Oh, no Robin Hood? No,
Robin Hood got canceled. Like,
dumb.
There was like a few.
Support.
Yeah.
There was like a few figures that got like demo sets or demo pieces sent out there that like got released into the wild after the game went out, and I probably have 40 boxed figures of Disney Infinity.
Man, people are on eBay are asking like $25 for figures. They were also pretty. They were pretty pricey though, I believe, back in the day.
The first run was like $10, and then as you got into the later, there was like Disney Infinity 1, 2, and 3, and they were all separate games, as well, which is I think what made them fail is that you had to keep getting a new game as well as
right.
So
that's a lot to ask for,
right? So like Disney Infinity 3, the game could use all the figures, but if you only had the first version of the game, you couldn't use like the Star Wars figures and stuff. So like the Disney one was like Pixar and like Disney figures. 2 had like Marvel characters and stuff like that, and 3 included like Star Wars and stuff like that. But they were like, as they went up, they got more like the newer versions got more expensive because they did start add like they made them bigger, a little bit bigger, and they made versions that had like a glowing lightsaber and stuff, so those were more expensive.
That's pretty cool.
They were. I was super excited when Toys R Us clearanced them out, and I picked up like a stack of them. I was not. And then like as GameStop, as the game got discontinued, GameStop started clearancing them out for like buy one, get three free. And I was like,
oh, jeez, okay. Bro, they're really trying to push that. Get them out.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Like, that's why I have a whole bunch of box figures as well as, oh, I'm probably 100 loose figures.
I'm friends on Facebook or Instagram or something with the guy that's like was one of the main sculptors for that line, and I can't remember his name. I'm blanking on who it is, but I remember him posting when they shut it down, and he was just as surprised as like, yeah, you tell in the post, he was just like, I don't know, like, you know, that I'm saddened by this. We've done such great work, and it's so cool, and it's so popular, but they just had to pull it, so.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder what goes into those decisions, right? If something's making them money and it's popular, what?
I think it's a combination. Like, Disney Infinity, I think, was a combination of needing a new game as well as toy add-ons, right?
Yeah,
not only toy add-ons.
Quite a big overhead for that, I imagine.
Right, like toy add-ons, plus you had, like, discs, and then, like, there was like action sets. Like, there was an action set with like Hawkeye in like a specific place. And I forget, like, oh man, I could have to dig, but I probably, oh, maybe it wasn't Hawkeye. No, it was, the only way to get like Captain America was like in this weird set with him in like, I think it was like the Shield base or something like that. I don't know. I
could have bought a helicarrier.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been a dick move. Make you buy like a huge ass helicarrier to get Captain America, like a main Avenger.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. The Venom one is one of my favorite figures.
Oh yeah. Venom, I remember that was really cool.
And the Hulk one was quite great as well.
This is a recent thing I got. It's the only thing I've gotten recently that is considered a figure, but it's from Weta. It's a stylized Gandalf, as you can see. It's just a statue. Cool. It's so cool.
That's cool. I love the
style. But they have a whole series like this. They're called like Mighty Minis or something like that. I don't know. Weird name, but I saw Gandalf. I thought, man, I gotta get him. He's super rad. Oh, cool. Sitting right here on my.
So I love stuff like that when like it's stylized and like it's made like cartoony, but in like the right way. That stuff always like gets me. It's like
still looks like the actor and still looks like the character and all that.
The Hocus Pocus ones that came out like that are actually something I'm like, you know, I kind of dig those.
Which one?
It's like the Hocus Pocus ones. I forget who makes them.
Oh.
But it's like the Sanderson sisters, and then they have Billy Butcherson as well. And Billy just looks so good. I'm like it's been hard to not buy him because
I was doing this only Hocus Pocus thing just reminded me because when I think of Hocus Pocus, I just think of the recent Lego set that was released, the Hocus Pocus. You have it?
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool. Are you talking about the Toonie Terrors, Nick?
I don't know. Hold on.
I'm talking about Toonie Terrors. Yeah, that's Nick.
Yeah. That's why I'm like you.
But I don't work on this, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
It might be.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Hold on.
But I mean, that's a good example right there, like the Toonie Terrors. I love like the stylized look and stuff and the cartoony look of those things.
All I know is it's got like an orange pack.
An orange pack,
like the card is orange.
Oh, yeah. Then yeah, it's the NECA ones.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, it is the NECA ones. Yeah, I absolutely love the design of those because it's very reminiscent of the same kind of like that toonie thing. But yeah, the Hocus Pocus set, Lego set was amazing. Me and my
partner. It looks amazing, but I'm not a Hocus Pocus fan necessarily. I don't know anything about it. I don't think I've ever seen it. But
I saw it when I was a kid.
And I almost like got it anyway, just because it's such a incredible looking like set, like cabin. I got the my big Christmas present was the Lion Knight's castle. Just over there.
It's gorgeous.
Nice. And, yeah.
I was on another podcast maybe a couple months ago, and they asked me, they went around, everyone was like saying what they collect now, and people were like, oh, Warhammer, the, you know, Joy Toy Warhammer figures, or the, you know, the Street Fighter ones, or whatever, the
yeah,
the Street Fighter ones by whatever. And I got to me, and I was like, I honestly, main thing I buy nowadays is just Lego. That's like, that's about it. That's like the main thing that's worth it. I mean, you know, but now Lego, I'm getting to the point where I've got a back catalog of about 15 sets, and
yeah,
and it's probably the most obvious thing to anyone ever, but I had gone years, I mean, probably a decade since buying any Lego, and then I got the blacksmith house. Oh, which, yeah, is an amazing set, and it was my first kind of venture back into Lego. Actually, I can tell you the last time I bought it. I have the, from when the Hobbit movie came out, I bought the Hobbit home.
Oh shit!
The last Hobbit Lego home. Oh, yeah. So that was like a decade ago, you know.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Longer than that. And then so I got the blacksmith house, and I was like, "Oh, this is cool." And as I'm building it, I started to realize, "Oh, this is time. Like, it's not like I can just like." You know, you can get an action figure, new action figure in, and you can open it up, you can look at it, you can spend as much time with it as you want, and you can be done with it. But in order to build that, at the very least, it's going to take me like 12 hours or something.
Yeah.
At the minimum, I'm gonna, and I never really made that connection where I'm like, oh, Lego is a commitment of time. When you buy that set to actually do the thing, there is no shortcuts. There is no, you know, whatever.
No.
So now it's like I've got two kids, I've got, you know, husbandly duties and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, you don't have time. Yeah,
I don't have the time. So now I've got about 15.
Yeah, that's like, it's like a couple years ago for my birthday, my buddy got me the Ecto-1, like the big Ecto-1.
Oh yeah, that's and amazing.
I haven't opened it up because it's like I got a I got a 5 year old, and I got a job, and then you know we do this, and it's like, I don't have time. If I sit down and try and build that, the 5 year old's gonna be right up my ass wanting to help me. And you don't share Legos. I'm sorry. No.
Oh, you don't? Yeah. I let my 4 year old and my 8 year old help. And my 4 year old's better at it. My eight year old's more like she'll start doing it and then she wants to do her own thing because she's in, you know, in her mind she can do something better. So I'm like, what are you? No, don't touch that. You know, I need that.
Yeah. No, well she has her own Legos. She has her own Legos, and she builds those no problem. Here's the instructions. Go have fun. It's all, you know, fun. Yeah. No, I can't share Legos. My wife wanted to do that one time. I got her into Legos, and she, like, had a set that she wanted to build, and I was kind of like, well, I don't have a set to build. You know, so she was like, oh, we can build this together, and I'm like, no. And then it was, like, vice versa another time where I had a set, and I'm sitting there all excited. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put my Lego together. And she's like, well, I don't have one. And I was like, sucks to be you. Like,
oh, no.
She's like, we can just build yours. I'm like, no. No.
See, but now you're saying you don't have the time.
I was fully prepared for that situation. I got my partner into Legos, and we have a now 11-year-old. Yesterday was his birthday. So, but for the past few years, like, I'm smart. I got my stuff, but then I was like, oh, let me get you your own stuff. So that, sure, your stuff might be smaller or, you know, less, like, there's less to do, but I got my stuff. So then we just started having Lego nights where, like, we, instead of watching a movie or dinner, or, well, we would eat dinner. But like after dinner,
no, you're eating Legos.
You gotta be able to afford the Lego somehow. You gotta cut somewhere.
Right. That's where they got the term shitting a brick. It's because you force feed your family Legos.
And they all connect inside and come out simultaneously. No, but yeah. So I was like, here's yours, and I get to build mine. But but there are times where, like, you know, the 11-year-old gets a Lego set for Christmas and I don't get a Lego set for Christmas. So he has one, but like you said, you've got a backlog. I don't want to talk about my backlog.
Okay. I didn't know. I don't have too many friends these days. I have a good, like, a childhood friend who's you know, my age, and he has a family and everything, and they're kind of the same thing. They live in Atlanta, and I was recently there, and they have an entire room that's Lego, like he and his kids do. And his kids are really smart for their age too. So they're not doing like, you know, for this age, they're doing all the advanced.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And they've got all the badass sets, like all the, like you name it, they have it. And I'm just walking around the room like I'm in a museum. He's like, oh yeah, me and Connor did that a couple of weeks ago. And I'm like,
nice.
Connor?
Yeah, the idea line, which is the one with the blacksmith and the Hocus Pocus house, that line is actually pretty phenomenal. Like overall, that line has come out with so many really cool sets. Like it had the original like DeLorean in it. It had, like, they gave us Wally, they gave us the Big Bang House,
the Seinfeld set,
the
Office set, the Friends set,
TARDIS. Yeah. Back in the day, that thing's expensive now.
I lied. The actual last Lego set I bought before I started buying Lego with some fervor was the Voltron when that came out.
Whatever, yes. Like
3-4 years ago.
Oh, that thing.
And that is in the box. I never opened it. So now I'm kind of like, well, it's retired. Maybe I don't want to open it. I'm just going to probably just leave it in the box. And
yeah, but they retire everything, you know, so.
Yeah, but
I do. True.
But once it goes retired, then that skyrockets the price. Like Voltron, I didn't get Voltron.
Yeah, but are you getting to resell? Are you getting because you enjoy it? You know what I mean?
I feel like that's why I'm keeping it in the box, because I don't buy any Lego to invest in. I just buy them to play with. But that was sort of an oopsie, and now I'm this far in. You know, this far.
Right? Like you're.
I don't care as much because I have like 15 other Lego sets that are fantastic. I've got the Viking Town untouched. I've got I've got the nice. Man, I got so much stuff over there. I don't even know.
I still gotta get the Optimus Prime one. That's one I really want.
I got that.
That one's downstairs right now being put together.
Nice.
I got that for my birthday. So and that one took me a little bit of time. Like
so many.
Like,
I was kind of surprised. Because I expected bigger bricks and stuff to make it up, but yeah. It feels like it's 90% like 1 and 4.
There's a lot of pieces. There's a lot of intricate pieces in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's a great build. I absolutely loved it. I got it, but like you said, it's a time commitment. So we do Lego nights and it's like an hour and a half. So I'm like, all right, well, I get through like a couple bags because, especially with like Optimus Prime.
Do you set a time, or do you just like, it's like, okay, Lego time starts at 8 and we go till 9, or do you guys just,
we go till we're finished, damn it.
Well, it depends on when we were doing it. Like the kids have a bedtime. So like we have like a cold stop, like we, like not a hard stop, but it's like, all right, well the kids got to start getting to bed.
Around there. Yeah.
Like, you know, every once in a while we wouldn't start until later, so it wasn't like 7:30 to 9 or whatever it was. It's like when we start, but like, yeah, okay, the kids got to get to bed. But if we did on like a Friday or Saturday, we were a little bit more loosey goosey with like time commitments. Yeah. It's kind of like, all right.
Did you guys get any of the Mario ones? The
my daughter has so freaking many of those; it's ridiculous. She loves them. They're super cool. It's super fun.
Yeah, my kids bought me a couple of sets for me, and then they ended up playing with them, which it's kind of better for them anyway. But
yeah, as an adult,
like you're just
As an adult, I just want the figures.
Yeah,
like I don't need the pieces to make the set. I don't need the warp tubes. Like, just give me Lego bricks to build all of like Bowser's kids.
Yeah, I got shit like that. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, some of the stuff that come up, like, you know, I want, like, give me the Boomerang Brothers to build or something like that. Like that's what I want from that. But they got some cool. Yeah, but they have them in the line, right. But they come in sets, and I just want those figures by themselves, because that's something I would collect, you know, without the other stuff. But I mean, that's a pretty cool line. The freaking Sonic figures are pretty not figures, but the Sonic sets are pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that the other day.
She doesn't have any of those, but like just the fact that they made it so you know that he runs the course and stuff. Like, that's pretty. It's pretty freaking cool.
What about Lorcana? Anybody getting into that stuff at all? Speaking of Robin Hood,
Oh shit! Oh yeah, Nick was mentioning that the other day.
I have many unopened packs. I have many open sets. I have not opened any, but I intend to.
Yeah. I ultimately tried very hard to stay away. I have bought a number of packs. I have not gotten anything super cool, but I haven't gone like full in yet.
I haven't played the game yet. I got my kid. I bought several of the first round when they sold out and then no one could get them. Best Buy somehow still had them, and I was able to get them through Best Buy when everywhere else was sold out. And then, but when they said they were going to remake the first wave and then the second wave was going to be really easy to get, I got my one of my daughters a bunch of the second wave with the intention of us sitting down and playing them, and they're sitting right over there. They still haven't done it. not out of a collective thing, just time. Again, it's time. It's like
That's
a couple
it.
Hours like, out at the end of school, and it's like you know, you got like so many things you got to do, and then you're like, are we gonna sit down and learn a new game, or am I gonna drink be lazy?
that's kind of the same boat. Like, I want to learn how to play. Like, all of the people I've talked to at, like, the comic stores and stuff like that, they're like, I've been playing Magic for decades at this point, and I've played more Lorcana in the past month than I probably played Magic in the past 6 months.
That's pretty cool. Or year,
right? Yeah, like, it's a game that a lot of people love. The artwork is gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
The new series that they're dropping with, like, DuckTales and stuff like that, I'm like, aww.
If they have Darkwing in there somewhere.
Do they?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
I won't put it past them to drop it because Scrooge got released and I was like, oh.
When I was a kid, not a kid, when I was a teenager, I worked at Electronics Boutique, EB Games, and we had a shrink wrap machine, so we'd often re-shrink our games and just return them. You know, everyone did.
Yeah.
You just get your full credit back and then whatever. One day we found out that Toys R Us did it. Like Toys R Us would, this is back, they would take your returns and give you Jeffrey bucks. So whatever you brought them, if it was shrink wrapped, with or without a receipt, Jeffrey bucks.
Yeah.
And so the Nintendo, what was that 3D thing called? The red
virtual boy.
One day we're opening up shop in the morning, my buddy and I, and we get the little note, you know, all virtual boys just went down from like 150 or 200 bucks down to 19.99. And we had 8 of them on the shelf. So Rich and I, well, I just named my culprit, co-conspirator. We bought every single Virtual Boy, and then we took them over to Toys R Us across the street. Not one, like not at once, just one at a time, where they were still selling them for $200.
You gotta do it. You gotta do it. You know, over time. You can't do it. You can't.
Yeah.
You
so we had friends do it. We did it. Like so many Jeffrey bucks before those Virtual Boys. And I remember, I can probably like plot out how long it took me to spend the Jeffrey bucks that we got, because I spent my last dollar on a Mountain Dew, but I had bought the Nintendo 64. So I wonder how long between Virtual Boy and Nintendo 64, but that was with the last chunk of the
Jesus.
I spent to. But shortly after that. You could no longer return stuff to Toys R Us without a receipt.
Yeah,
I think it's
broke Toys R Us too. You're the reason why they went out of business, damn it!
No.
Nintendo went bankrupt and went out of business. So I feel horrible.
No, no, no. Like, I very specifically remember that that policy. I know you are, I know for a fact you are not the culprit for that. That is a very common thing that got taken advantage of. But it did change their policies and whatnot. And like certain stores, like EB Games, they stopped. If you brought a video game in for trade, it had to be unshrink wrapped.
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't watch you unshrink wrap it. Mm. Like, I went to bring just a
turn around.
Like, so, right. From a flipping standpoint, right? Like, I'll be honest, there was a number of times I bought clearance games or whatever at Toys R Us and brought them to wherever was giving me the best value, right? Like,
I think everyone did.
I bought video games at Toys R Us and went to EB Games or GameStop or whatever the flavor of the week was, right? And I was like, yeah, I want to trade this game in. They're like, we can't take it. It's new. I'm like, okay. Did you want me to just open it? They're like,
less chance of if you open. Yeah.
They're like, if you open it in front of us,
we can't.
Take we it. Still can't take it. I was like,
it's so weird.
Hold on a second. So I walked outside, ripped it open in my car, and then walked back in. I was like, hey, I'd like to trade in this game. They're like, all right, we'll give you this much money for it. I was like, yeah, I know. But, you know, you talked about re-shrink wrapping things, and then there's a number of stores that got in a lot of trouble, GameStop and EB and Games included, where they were re-shrink wrapping it and then just reselling it as new.
You could tell half the time, too, because like the shrink wrap was like looser than like the factory sealed one, so it looked a little wonky.
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Walmart and stuff does it now. They do it, but they do it because they're putting something inside the box or whatever, so it doesn't have the same Y fold that a video that it's supposed to have.
Do you follow the figure swap? There's probably more than one, but there's like a good one on Instagram that I follow. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, yeah. I don't follow them, but I catch those. Like, that's just ridiculous. Great.
And I mean, I'm not like for that. I'm not for figure swap, but seeing like what they get away with, what they actually return to Target, I'm like, man, that's depressing, you know?
Oh, I work.
But how much of that stuff is like bullshit? You know what I mean? Like, that's how much of that is people like just posting those pictures for attention? And they swapped themselves but didn't return it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Amazon got me again. It's a cucumber instead of my Wolverine figure.
A lot of it's done at the store, at least the ones I've seen, where it's like on the Target shelf and you can tell they're at Target still. But I guess they could have still like, you know, figured it out. But I've seen it myself where it's like they clearly took a like an old, you know, something out of one thing and put it in another. So I have seen
it
where I'm like, how did this... And I don't, you know, you never know if someone bought it and returned it that way and Target took it back and put it on the shelf, or someone in the store there did the swap out and, like, who knows?
Dude, that'd be dastardly. Imagine, like, you got, like, an action figure, like, stuffed down your pants and you walk in the store and you're, like, swapping it out.
I just can't imagine getting caught stealing today. Like, it's just, I mean, obviously I'm older and more mature kids and stuff, but.
Man. Well, not that, but there's cameras everywhere. Like,
cameras everywhere.
Someone's going to see you.
Someone's going to see you. They may not do anything to stop you. I think that's one big difference between when we were growing up as kids is stealing was easier.
Oh, they would grab you.
They would grab you. And now it's like stealing is a lot harder, but depending where you are, they may not touch you and you might just
walk out.
When I worked at Best Buy, we had some stuff come back that was new and like, the person who took it back was just in like one of those people who you were like, how do you function? Right. Like, they work in retail. Right. So they would take stuff back. And then like the, you know, video game manager, like the media manager, whatever, would be like, why does this video game, why does this game system box rattle? And they'd open it up. It would be like something that would make it way like no literal rocks we found in a 360 box. But
it was that guy that got caught doing that with Amazon. He would buy stuff from Amazon, take the contents out, like cameras and stuff, But he'd weigh the box first and then put the exact same weight of rocks and bricks inside it and return it. And they finally caught on, and like he faced serious shit for that. But like that's, I mean, that's crazy.
Like, we never like we would never do anything like that as kids. We were like big on we were just never. but we were not. We were, you know, we always justify it as we're just playing the system that exists. We're not trying to like
right.
They're giving the money for this item that they will sell. It is the item. It is going on their shelf. It is going to be sold.
Gaming the system is one thing. We're just
playing within their system. Yeah. The only thing is different is that we are able to take this little sticker off that says sold at EB and walk across the street.
Yeah.
Or we can shrink wrap it because we have a shrink wrap.
Yeah, see,
But playing that game was, we got pretty, with Circuit City too. I worked at Circuit City for a while. And same thing.
Let's just talk about all the stores that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that was it.
I'm telling you.
My first job was at KB Toys when I was 16.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Funny story. Guess what I spent all my money on when I was 16 on my first job?
Was it mask figures?
It was.
Oh,
I would take every paycheck. I would take every paycheck, go on to eBay. This is when eBay was like brand new and people didn't know the value of shit. And I bought every single mask figure except for the Split Seconds because I hated that shit. Like, Boulder Hill and everything. Like, that was for my first shop. I still do. I still have all that shit in my storage right now.
So, when Mask was big, I lived in Texas. I lived in this little town called Dumas, Texas. Shit. It was like in the Panhandle.
You got around, man.
Yeah, that's what they say.
closing stores.
But I lived in the Panhandle of Texas and when I was a kid, so basically till I was about 7-8 years old. And it's about an hour and some change from Amarillo, and which is a slightly bigger city. It's big now, but I think back then it was just slightly bigger. And my parents would drive me into town. We'd go to Amarillo, because Dumas was like, where I lived in Dumas, it's like literally you sneeze, miss it, you know, kind of tiny little place.
Sure.
You know, this is like 83 or 84 or something, a long time ago. And we go to going to Amarillo. My parents took me to this like toy store, this independently owned toy store that was all Japanese toys, which was wild for a lot of reasons. Mm. It's before like Japanese toys and anime and everything had the big boom here in America.
Yeah.
And to have like an import store in the middle of nowhere, Texas, was just wild. I mean, of course, I didn't know that at the time. At the time, I just thought my parents were taking me to a cool store with a bunch of robots everywhere.
Sure,
but
absolutely.
Looking back, I'm like, that's crazy that store existed. But they had, you familiar with Godaiken? I think I'm saying that right. Godaiken?
Yeah.
Godaiken, they're like the diecast. It's where Voltron came from. Like Voltron.
Oh, yeah.
Before Voltron was Voltron. It's called like Lion God or Lion something. I can't remember. And so, yeah, I used to go to that store and they had all those on the line. But they also sold mask toys. And they had masks, they had Transformers, and then they had all Japanese toys. So that was, they kind of had like one or two kind of things that were in America, but mostly.
Yeah.
So back in Dumas, I had this buddy named Ian Keithley, who, he was that kid who had like, you know, he had the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier. He was that kid.
Oh shit.
He was that kid
who had a spoon motherfucker.
Yeah. So I would go to his house, and like it seemed like every time I went to his house, his toy collection grew. And he had like every Godaiken figure. I had one and I still have it. I still have it on the shelf. I've had that thing
nice
40 years, you know, I've had it a long time. He had every single one of them, and he had every single mask toy. He had Boulder Hill. He had the Rhino, which I loved Rhino. I wanted that one so bad. The only one I had, I only had two. I had Thunderhawk and Switchblade, which I think broke immediately. There was something about the Switchblade. I remember getting it, and because my friend Ian had it, so I was super psyched that I got it finally. And I played with it, and it went in the toy box, everything else. And like I remember, like the next time I played with it, like the wing was missing somehow. There's just something about that age where, like, I play with toys, and I can appreciate it now because my kids break their toys all the time. And I'm thinking, I'm like, I bet it's similar, but because I like was it wasn't that I was necessarily rough with them and like didn't care.
Yeah.
I would break a leg and not realize it's actually broken or something, and I put it down, and then when I go to pick it up again,
the next time, yeah.
My Optimus Prime is another thing. I have had him since I was a little kid, and his leg, his right leg, has been super glued for probably 36 years or however long I've had him.
That's awesome.
I think, the Switchblade is basically the carcass now. It doesn't, none of the moving parts exist anymore. It's just the blue shell,
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. But before I got my first job, it was flea markets. That's how I would get my Mask figures. And even then, I think I had Condor, Hurricane, and Manta.
That was cool. The other one I got too. I got what was it? Stinger.
Stinger, that's a badass one. The orange car.
Yeah, I had that one.
Yeah, that was a badass one.
The only one I'm not familiar with. I'm looking at these. I've never seen Slingshot before. It's like the mini.
What van? The old dude in the van, like the dad bod in the van.
That one's crazy. That one's cool. It's got the jet inside. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, the problem is, though, the van would always, like, pop open and wouldn't, like, stay closed half the time.
You roll it and just, like, slide open?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
That's kind of weird. I don't really – Transformers was my thing, like, for sure. Like, above all else. Transformers, just a little under G.I. Joe. That was my – main focus for most of my childhood, everything else was just sort of sprinkles of
season,
but I really don't collect many Transformers anymore. I have an Optimus Prime shelf. This just kind of happened because I realized I had a lot of Optimus Primes. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I got everything. Speaking of on Super 7 and on sale, I got the Optimus Prime Super 7 for like $20 entertainment.
Oh, nice.
They did like nice. Right before.
Yeah, they've been having some deep sales.
Yeah, those deep sales. Yeah, it was like 24, 29. I was like, yeah, I'll get it now.
But
again, like you said about Robin Hood, is it worth that? It's kind of not. It's kind of bad. It's kind of a bad figure. And I hate
Optimus, even for $20 is bad.
It's kind of bad. Compared to like I got the Hasbro Red one, which that tank.
Oh, yeah.
That serious tank, it's just a much better figure. Like it's all around a better figure.
Yeah, a lot cheaper too. What those were like $30, something like that.
Yeah, well, I think I got mine for $19.99. Anyway. There you go.
But have you seen the Missing Link Optimus Prime that's coming out this year? Mm-mm. It's the G1 Optimus Prime, but fully articulated. So it looks like
G1
Prime.
Oh, but really? Like, but it's
knee joints, everything. Knee joints, ankle pivots, bicep swivels.
I'll buy that.
Everything. I pre-ordered the toy one. No, the animation one.
Where do you get it?
It was on Hasbro Pulse. It's probably up on Entertainment Earth and all that stuff. But there's the one with there's the one that's just Prime, and that's like $80. And then there's the Prime with the trailer. I forget how much that was, but I just got regular Prime, and they got it. Apparently, there's a bunch of diecast in them too. So,
that's true.
Yeah, when I found out that they're fully articulated, I was like, I gotta get that.
I gotta be honest, this Super 7 Fallen Optimus Prime looks kind of cool. It's just grayscale, but they did a print on him. They wrinkled up his. They gave him battle damage, so he's when he's.
I just pulled up the Super 7 only one.
$75.
Best Buy has Shattered Glass Super Cyborg version. And it's like he looks. At first, I thought it was Galvatron in the picture because of what it looks like.
So those are also like this big. Those were like
11 inches.
Yeah.
I buy most of my stuff from Entertainment Earth because you get free shipping if you spend over like $70, which is almost a given, and then you don't have to pay until it ships. Do you pay for a big bad toy store until it ships?
No, Nope. And Big Bad Toys, I don't know about Hawaii, but it's $4 flat rate shipping.
Here it's going to be like $20.
It's $20 flat rate shipping.
You hear that, Big Bad Toy Store and Super 7? You should sponsor us.
Yeah.
We're selling toys for you.
Oh, okay, okay. No, actually, I don't know what this means. They use like a special technique. $9.50 plus $1.25 per shipment. So $9.50 plus $1.25 per pound.
Huh.
So I guess however much it weighs. So yeah, it'll probably be $20 or whatever. It's dope. All right. Well, I mean, it's got to be bought. I mean, I don't really have an option here.
That thing's badass. I cannot wait.
I never knew. Yeah, I just kind of quit looking at Transformers. I don't buy that many. I don't care. I got several from 3-0. Back when I was doing toy reviews, they sent me a couple for free, which I really appreciate a lot.
Nice.
But I haven't done toy reviews in 9 years, 8 years.
Oh geez.
You do toy reviews all the time. It's part of your job.
Yeah, right.
You do toy reviews all the time. It's part of your job.
I started pursuing the toy industry like as a job, so it was like couldn't split my time between working on a portfolio and it takes a long time to do toy, like a good toy review. I had this toy, I used to run a website called Rad Toy Review, and I took a lot of photos, and if you ever look up any of my reviews, they're like short novels. They're ridiculous. Yeah. They're so long, so many words. And then I started doing YouTube videos in the early heydays of YouTube. And that's where it really was like, oh my God, this takes so much time to do. And still, ironically, my most watched video on YouTube was has like over like 1.5 million views or 1.2 million or something like that. And it's the crappiest like piece of garbage. I think I did it with like a first gen GoPro. So it's all like fisheye lens and
bad
lighting, and like you can hear the fan in the background. You can barely hear my voice. And some reason that one's got the most views of, and then the ones I actually put a lot of effort in got, you know, a couple thousand or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, half the thing that sucks about that stuff is if you're not like first, you miss so many views.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I thought about doing that before, and I did like way back in like early like 2007, I think, when the first Transformers movie came out. I was like buying that stuff and like, you know, I made a couple reviews, but then nothing happens because there's these guys that would buy them off eBay months before they came out and have the reviews up first, and they would get all the attention.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, effort. If you want to stand out, you got to put the effort in, the design, the graphic, the actual editing and stuff. And it's just like, that's a lot of freaking work.
Well, I got it too. I mean, I was mainly justifying my 3A addiction. I just started buying them, and it was right when we moved to Hawaii. So it was about 12 years ago. And I had gotten so much 3A, and I didn't really have a good job at the time. And I wasn't in the toy industry. My wife was just not really thrilled with it. So I started like, you know, I'd go out and take photos, and then I just started writing reviews. And then eventually I got to know some of the guys at 3A and at 3-0 and, you know, just different companies over the years. And I would write these reviews, and I'd be really brutally honest, which at the time, if you looked at reviews around that time period, they weren't really, there was a few. There's a guy named Michael Crawford. I can't remember what his website's called, but he's been around forever. And his reviews have always been pretty good. But he's done the same style review for like, whatever, 15 years. So it's it looks like a blog with like some photos and then his words. And he's pretty critical, but not like not mean spirited in any way, you know, just like, but he was one of the few. Like, I remember looking at toy reviews and it'd be like, you know, the worst photograph of a toy that was done, and they had the flash on and it's reflecting light off of. I'm just like, I can't even look at the photo. I don't know what this toy looks like. And that used to aggravate me. My wife had a nice camera. So I would take all these using the DSLR, you know, I would take these nice photos, which is common today. Like, everyone does that today. But back then, nobody did it. So mine kind of, I think, stood out a little bit back then. So a couple, like, put time and effort.
Yeah, the care.
And I put a lot of time and effort in, but then it just came down to, like, I wasn't making any money off of it. I think the most I paid was like $100 or something one month from YouTube. So, you know, it wasn't really something I thought I could make a living doing, but I think of it now and I'm like, man, if my math is right, I started around the same time as like Pixel Dan and Shardamus Prime, like those guys. Yeah. So maybe if I kept up with it, who knows, maybe today I'd be one of those guys walking around, you know. But that's such a hustle too. I think I might be too lazy for that world as far as
right.
It seems like that's the thing that consumes all your time, you know, where I can sculpt and I work my normal 9 to 5, but I can work a little late. I can work a little, you know, in pockets, and when creativity hits me, I can work, and when I, you know, I can ramp things up and down, but I'm not like beholden to, like what you said. Oh, I gotta, you know, if I don't get the latest Marvel Legends thing,
if you're not first, Ricky Bobby, man,
and then I'm not
first, you're last.
Yeah. So I don't know. Seems like a huge
hustle. It sucks. Yeah. Yeah. And then you need, especially nowadays, you need something that makes you stand out from everybody else, because everybody's doing shit, you know.
That was my one good thing, is I had 3A and 3.0 stuff, and there wasn't really anyone reviewing.
Yeah.
And I had an end there. I have friends that work there, and so I was getting some product from them, and they're big and expensive and insane. You know, I reviewed the Metal Gear Rex. I don't know if you ever saw their.
Like, oh shit! Oh yeah.
Their review, and one of my first jobs with Hasbro, I was talking to the guy, the hiring manager over there, and we were just chatting like we are now, kind of, before I got the work. And I was like, yeah, I used to run this toy website and called Rad Toy Review. He goes, you did the Metal Gear Rex review. Dude, I bought that toy because of your review. And I was like,
that's awesome.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's cool. And I don't know if that's why I got the job. I'd like to think it was because of my skill, but my talent, my ability. But
you shut down Toys R Us and Circuit City, right? but you got a job at Hasbro.
I got City shut down, but I brought business to a couple of small toy companies. So feel pretty good about it.
See, it's okay then. Robbing from the rich and giving to the poor. I see.
Oh, shit.
Like Robin Hood.
Look at that. It's thematic.
You're a guitar player. Even Robin Hood plays a lute. Or whatever that thing is.
The crow guy, right? The rooster, man? Rooster,
yeah, the rooster plays it.
Yeah.
The little lolly.
Right?
Yeah. That's a good song, man.
It's a great song. What's all those songs? They're great.
Yeah.
The whole movie is actually just a really great movie.
Dude, it's so good. And to think that came out, what, like, in the 60s or something?
70s.
Yeah, 70s. Like, it's that old. Like, and it still holds up so good.
There's something that I learned, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago. I've seen that movie so many times, and I watched it again maybe like 4 years ago for the first time. There was like a dip, and I wanted to watch it with my kids, and I put it on. And you know the scene where like little John's dressed up like a woman?
Yeah,
And it's like the guards are running in the tents, and they're running out, whatever, and he comes out. My entire life, because he comes out and he's got the fake boobs in and stuff like that. And he's like, and my entire life, I thought he said, "What a beautiful bra." That's what I always thought he said. He says, "What a beautiful bra." No, he says, "What a beautiful brawl," which makes way more sense given the context. But I thought that when I was a kid. So I've thought that in my whole adult life, and at least I think that's what he's. I think that's what he's saying is "what a beautiful bra," but he's definitely not saying "what a beautiful bra," which is what I.
You never know. You never know.
It's Disney in the 70s. It could be. Could be anything.
There's something that's always bothered me about Mask, even when I was actively playing with him and watching the cartoon and stuff like that. Two things. One was the figures. At that time, the standard was, to me, it was G.I. Joe. Because you pose them, you could And that's what I love to do. I like to put them in their military. You can only do so much with the mask. I never was big on the Star Wars figures for the same reason. I hated that. They were, you can do this. You can do leg, foot, you know, whatever. I hated that. Air Raiders, oh my God. They decided to put the legs on the same peg so they could sit or not, but you couldn't even, like. Just that drove me insane as a child. So I always got aggravated at Mask because they didn't have the mobility of like a G.I. Joe figure. But I could let that slide. But even as a kid, like as much as I thought the Camaro was rad and he's the main character, the you know, the leader of the good guys, Thunderhawk, it's a kind of a lame transformation. It is. Doors open.
He opens up his doors.
Doors open, little things pop out, and the little tail.
Thrusters in the back, and he's off.
It's just pretty. It's very simple. And I was like, just for this chat, I just kind of went through to refresh my memory, and I was like clicking on this website and looking at all the different ones. And
but that's the thing, is most of them are like that.
Rhinos is very like
dumb.
Very dumb. Like a door comes down. Like what are you doing that while you're driving down the road? You know, like. I can't even tell really between the two here. The smokestack points down. Of course, the back part pops off and becomes a secret.
The grill comes forward.
The grill pops open like it looks like this much maybe.
Nah, it's a decent amount. And then the back comes off as like a little utility rover.
Yeah,
That's pretty much it.
It's a mobile defense unit. It's like a, I don't know. I feel like you guys could have just left it as a truck. Just as useful to you.
No. But, Dad,
what about Gator?
Gator.
The truck was too close to Optimus Prime.
Well, Gator just opens up, right, and the guy flies out.
Yeah. Funny thing is, that's the one mass vehicle that I never had, other than the Split Seconds. And within the past year, I found one and then bought all the pieces to complete it. So.
Oh, nice. Like some of them are cool. Like Switchblade is cool, even though it's like you're going from a helicopter or jet. I mean,
it's pointless, right?
But it looks cool, right? And there's enough moving parts, enough switching around. Jackhammers is cool. The front comes out. Yeah. Turret.
Bullet. Motorcycle turns into a little hovercraft.
I almost bought off of eBay the other day a T-Bob and Scott.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I think
I had T-Bob as a kid. I had Scott, or
my buddy had it, and he brought it over. Like, I remember the toy. I remember, like, you ever guys ever pick up like an old like toy you had as a kid, and it takes you back like physically, like tactile, is that the word? Like you feel like the tactileness of it. You're like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Remember that click? I remember that thing. Like that's what like when I forgot about T-Bob completely, and then the other day I was on eBay. Looking at a Godiakon toys. I'm trying to buy good Godiakon stuff. And for some reason I can't say that word tonight. And and then that reminded me of the Mask stuff. And I kind of started veering into that, seeing what those things were going for. And then T-Bob popped up. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, I felt my hands closing the wheels, and I could like, I was like, oh, I gotta pick that up. I gotta get it.
The thing that killed me is that T-Bob figure never looked right. Like it was so weird.
No, the kid? Or the robot?
Yeah, T-Bob. Yeah, it was just so weird. Like, and I get it, like limitations of like the technology and the engineering of the time and stuff like that, but the fact that it was just like three wheels that like chewed together and you just crammed the
with the arms come out.
Yeah.
But I like that it looked like he's a scooter, but like the kid can't like ride it right. Like he's not holding anything. That seems extreme.
Yeah, because they sculpted him like with his arm up or whatever.
I don't think his legs bend or something. I don't know. It's like it's very limited. Very limited toy.
Definitely weird, like sculpting toy. Just like, I mean, like the original Shredder figure, like let's make him hunched over. One arm will be bent and the other arm will be straight. It'll be great. Like, what the hell are they thinking?
Or they do the weird paint. They have the one where he has like eyebrows and one where he has no paint, so it just looks like bald forehead. And that's kind of what I for me is, you know, working and mostly doing turtle stuff nowadays, is of all those popular toy lines, I was probably least invested in turtles, because I was kind of like, as I was aging out, I would think.
Yeah.
I did have a lot. I had my mom actually sent me a care package about a month ago of like stuff that she found in like my closet. So it was
nice.
So I've got like several turtles and, you know, some of that kind of stuff. A lot of my old G.I. Joes, which instantly fell apart. Like all the Obey.
Yeah. All rings were disintegrated.
I'm like, oh, snake eyes.
Yeah.
I ordered some new O-rings, you know, but everything looks pretty good. You know, nothing's too jacked up.
It's exactly as I remember. Just as battle worn.
Yeah.
My G.I. Joes took a beating. More than any one of my toys, where my G.I. Joes took a beating because, well.
Did you shoot them?
No.
BB gun?
No. I was like, wait, shoot them out of a thing or shoot them?
Nick's a pacifist.
Yes. Yes.
No, but they got, like, they got thrown. They got left outside. They got like we put an addition
frozen on, in
like,
the freezer
house, yeah. And we put an addition on the house, and they were like, they definitely got thrown in like an unfinished house.
We did a thing where it was like my cousin, I think, maybe saw like a picture or something. Must have seen something where he got the idea to bury them with their heads sticking out.
Oh yeah,
like they were being captured. And then we got like called to dinner or something, and we did it like we never got them back. I don't know what happened to them. I don't remember. Like, I'm trying to remember the thing. I don't remember if we did them in the woods or what we did, but I lost some good men, some good Joes that day.
Some good men were lost that day.
We just forgot them. And then like one day I was like, oh yeah, we buried them. Where do we bury those?
No man left behind. Not in Brody's house.
And then, oh yeah, and then my other buddy had a BB gun, and I never liked the idea. I had other friends who shot their G.I. Joes. It was almost like I'm a grown up. I like girls now, you know. A lot of kids did it, and I was never into the idea. But we needed more G.I. Joes for this. Like, we had made this had a bunch of vehicles on the sidewalk, basically, that we had lined up like they were a parade. Or like a convoy, thank you. Jeez. And
convoy.
Yeah. And so we needed some more, so I like begrudgingly went and got a few of my least favorite ones and put them in there, and then we played sniper, and so nice. A few of them died that way too, but I do regret that. I regret breaking my toys.
Oh yeah.
Not proud of it.
Break-ins, selling. Like, I regret all that shit.
I regret. So, I had all the X-Men cards. Like, the first gen X-Men collection.
Oh, yeah.
Cards, all the holograms. Yep. All of them.
Nice.
And just before we moved here, I had those and also a bunch of Magic cards. I do have some of my old Magic cards. And I let them go for a song because I had no patience or time to, like, deal with whatever. And I don't remember what I let him go for, but I remember looking up some of those the other day and being like, oh, I definitely didn't get that. I definitely
didn't. Yeah. Nope, that's not right.
In fact, we moved here from San Antonio, and we had a 2-year plan. Basically just come hang out in Hawaii. It was just me and my wife, so no kids. So we're just like, let's just live Hawaii for a couple of years, and we'll move back to the mainland and get serious about life and, you know.
Yeah, sure.
But we knew it was expensive here, and we looked up like storage unit cost, because we had a bunch of crap, and we're going to be moving into a small, tiny place here. And so we got a storage unit in San Antonio, and it was like $20 a month, and it was probably about half the size of my garage. You know, it was plenty of room for like toys and her grandma's china.
Yeah,
$20.
Yeah, it's so cheap.
It was dirt cheap, but it had security. It was like it was in a nice area. It was, you know. You know, we had that for like 6 or 7 years. And then one day we were just like, we probably need to go get that. We're not going anywhere. We probably need to go get that stuff. So we like had a whole trip to San Antonio. And then we started looking at, like, we have so much crap. And a lot of it was like it was like I had my toys and I had VHS tapes that I'd had since I was little, and like all sorts of stuff. Like I had a big box full of DVDs and all my anime collection and all this stuff. And I'm like, we started looking at what it was going to cost to ship this stuff back, and it was just outrageous. And then we just sort of whittled it down to like, okay, like stuff my wife really cared about that belonged to family. Sure. And then like a handful of things that I could ship back. And I remember, so we had a sale, and I had all these like Gundam, like really huge Gundam. My buddy and I, years and years, got really big into Gundam toys, models. Yeah. Really expensive.
Those are badass.
The money on. We basically spent all the money on going out on the weekend to get drunk and then on Gundam. That's what we spent all of our money on. So we had like the best, the most expensive kits you could buy. And I was like looking through them, just like, man, I can't believe I still have these things. Of course, the boxes are huge, and I couldn't like take it with me on the plane, and then the shipping and everything else was going to be expensive. So I was like, And I remember like no one bought the Gundam models, and I was dying inside. We literally dropped them off at Goodwill on the way out of town.
Oh, that sucks.
So whoever went to Goodwill got like, and I looked up one of the ones, and it was like a really bulky armored, you know, huge one. And it was going for like $600 on like,
wow, eBay. Shit. Yeah. You definitely lost out. That sucks.
Yeah, dear Lord. But yeah, a bunch of random toys and DVDs and that kind of stuff. I mean, Mask was awesome. All
right.
I mean, so Mask is also like I have a number of friends and not named Mike that absolutely loved Mask, like, and they've been talking to me about it for like 15-20 years, and I'm like, oh yeah, like I know what it is, like I didn't own any of the toys, like I'll be honest.
Listen, it's simple. They're masked crusaders working overtime, fighting crime. They're secret raiders who will neutralize as soon as they arrive at the site. And if you don't know, Tracker's going to lead the mission. Mm-hmm. And Spectrum's got supervision.
Mm-hmm.
My mask.
my mask.
Yeah. Always riding on a Venom trail.
So we could expand it from Mask to include Mask and a Mask, and just talk about Jim all Carrey. Of it at once.
Jim Carrey, yeah. and then Rocky Dennis.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I went to last September. I got a friend who works at Gentle Giant, and took a group of us on the Gentle Giant studio tour. And they have a scan of the original Elephant Man skeleton, which is
that's cool.
So, and it's life size, and it's crazy. It's like
that's cool.
That was a human being at one point.
Yeah, cool. Right.
You know, the wild thing to me about Mask is that I completely forgot that the helmets did stuff. That the mask, that's the namesake of the show, did anything. I thought it was just like, because what I remember is the vehicles. I remember they had cool helmets they put on, but I thought it was just like almost like you put on your racing helmet.
Yeah.
You know.
One thing that was bumming me out as a kid is like they had Boulder Hill, but they never had like the round table, if you could say, like, you know, where they all sit down and then the arms come down with their masks and energizes them. And I was always bummed that they didn't have that built into the toy or the playset. Like,
it was one of it's kind of empty. Is it just supposed to be like a garage?
It's a garage, and then it transforms into like the battle platform or the battle station. But the inside's completely empty with the exception of a jail cell.
Yeah, it's such a cool, iconic, like...
Is that where they stuck the Venom?
The Venom. Yeah. Miles Mayhem.
Miles Mayhem.
His twin brother, Maxie.
Really?
Max and Miles Mayhem.
Yeah. That was for the racing series.
Looking at all the...
Buzzard. Look up Buzzard. That was a badass fucking toy.
Buzzard. From which one? Oh, I see. Seriously. The race car.
Yeah, that was a badass.
Oh, it split. And... Oh, that is pretty cool.
It was like two, like, two like Tron motorcycles and then the little jet.
Yeah, that is cool. Do you have that one too?
I have that, but I don't have the spoiler, so I gotta try and track
the hang glider. You mean the hang glider? Man,
the hang glider.
I played with that.
It's got one pilot. And it's got one guy. So what happens?
Well, so the main thing is a robot, and then each motorcycle, you see a little black canopy. There's those black things on the sides. Those are canopies that open up, and that's where the figures go in.
Oh, the dude, the main middle part. You're saying that's a robot, the air squad.
Yes. With the red helmet, that's the robot. Yeah. And then if you look on the sides, there's little like canopies that the figures go in.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm not familiar at all with this series.
That was Series 3 was the racing series. They had some cool fucking vehicles. See, Buzzard was one of them, Wildcat.
Manta, they went a little bit further. Like they did what you could have done with Thunderhawk.
Yeah.
Just kind of that you can flip out some wings. It honestly doesn't look quite as cool though. I got it. I'll say Thunderhawk still looks cool. What's Laser Command? Is that something completely else?
Yeah, that was it's like laser tag type thing where if you shoot it just right, like the vehicles apart. Will explode parts.
Weird.
Yeah. Bulldog is pretty good. In the 80s.
I'm looking at this website called maskforce.com and it's got like
Yeah, they got all the stuff on there.
Nice like this one page.
Everything.
Listen, like we need masks to come back.
And now I'm like actually talking about masks. We
need masks to come back. We need visionaries, aerators.
I think aerators are in cool. Aerators is a cool idea, but it required so much like setup. The dinosaur is it Dino Riders?
Yes.
Is that the dinosaurs with the robot things on them?
I think there's a guy
like redoing those now. I think
Beasts of the Cyberzoic. They're adjacent. They're
similar. Yeah, those are cool.
Those are cool. I am dying for a Dino Saucers line.
Oh yeah,
Dino Saucers. Oh my god, I forgot about that. Yeah, look up. I remember Dino Saucers.
That's they made figures. Back in the 80s in Brazil by a company called Glasslight. And can find one in mint condition with its accessories, you're paying like $1,200 for it.
Whoa.
He's like, no.
That's a grail of mine. I would love to have a vintage Aloe in mint condition.
I love that cartoon. Accessories. I forgot. Yeah.
Like one of my favorites. I am dying for someone to get that license or just... make it. Denver, the last dinosaur.
Denver, I was about to say Denver.
Dude, that'd be right up Necca's alley. You could give him the cloth freaking shirt and everything.
Yeah, that's true. Look,
I found I found the DVDs at the dollar store like 2 years ago. I'm not even like the TV.
What was the high school one that was the dinosaurs?
Denver. Wasn't he in high school?
Yeah, but there was one that was.
Denver, the last dinosaur. He's my friend and a whole lot more. it was on like TBS or whatever. And I remember they had the Dino Power Hour. It was Denver, the last dinosaur, and dinosaurs back to back.
Then you throw Cadillacs and dinosaurs in there. You got Dino Riders. My brother was obsessed with this other one.
I had a couple.
Dink the little dinosaur.
Except the action figure, the riders were like generic. I don't remember the specifics, but there was something about because in the cartoon they were specific like characters. But if you looked at the toys, they were these sort of generic little soldiers, I believe. I could be just making this up or being on the complete.
Yeah, I don't remember if they had names. I remember the Rulons were some cool figures though.
Oh no,
there was something about. Where they, whatever the toy company is, just use like some other toy that already existed that would just fit or something like
Kenner.
Yeah, like they're just like, they're like, hey, these will fit in the seat, and they just were like, yeah, they look like military E, maybe.
And they recreate
kind of like Kenner, like Robin Hood is definitely not Green Arrow.
Yeah.
No, they did have a lot more generic good guys, if you will, for Dino Riders, but there was definitely some named characters. I think it was a good
Krulos.
I think it was like a good 15 years. No, they
had it in the toys that had the named characters?
Yeah.
Oh, I am looking at it. I see the Tyrannosaurus Rex one here. Those do look pretty specific. Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
I still have my Dino Riders T-Rex.
There was a, like, don't get me wrong, I do too. Don't get me wrong, there was a lot of generic good guy, right? Like, the bad guys...
Red shirts?
Yeah. But... I think it was a good 15 years before I found out there was more than just like 8 episodes of that show.
Like, no, it was only a pilot.
No, that's what everybody had on VHS, buddy.
I know.
There's an entire season based off of like the Ice Age. I was like, yeah. What?
Yeah, I remember that. But all right, you want to go even more like obscure and adjacent? Let's see if any of these ring a bell. All right. Do you remember Computer Warriors?
No. Computer Warriors. No.
It was pretty much Tron before Tron, or maybe after Tron, but as a cartoon. And
like a Transformer like things.
Yeah, the toys were like transforming things, but it was weird. It's like a Pepsi can.
This whisper in my brain, holy crap, that's so crazy.
Right.
Yeah, they're looking at this like green dude with like the bug eyes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had it or somebody else did, but
There was little like floppy disks that transformed two things move into little air gliders or whatever. Yeah. The Pepsi can turns into a jet. There's a soccer ball that turns into like a gunner station. That made no sense.
Yeah, I see that.
All right. What about Snailians?
What about Rock Warriors?
Everybody knows Rock Warriors.
Snailians?
Yeah.
Snailians.
Snailiens.
The packaging. This looks familiar. I don't. Was there was it just a toy line?
No, it's a cartoon.
Oh yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
cartoon.
Armored up snails battling armored up ticks.
It makes me think of Battle Beast a little bit. But
yeah.
I don't know if it'd be cool if they did Battle Beast like a, you know. Larger scale, with like real articulation and paint.
Oh, that'd be awesome. No. Someone's doing a third party.
Probably the same guy that's doing masks.
I would buy Battle Beasts, but don't give me the blind packs. That's super common now. Fuck that.
Buddy of mine owns the toy company Last Resort Toys, Brian, and he goes after all those. He's tried to get Food Fighters. He's been trying to get Food Fighters. I think it's Mattel, for years and years. Huh. And he's gone to their offices. They've been like, yeah, we think we make this deal work. And then they don't call him back. And he's had all sorts of adventures with them. And, he's some obscure ones. He's got some pretty, if you look at his like website, the ones he does get, or his Instagram, he gets some like really kind of, a lot of the, like those ones you would put a quarter in the store and get and be like an alien or something. But
Muscle Man.
Those were actually like a brand of a line of toys. I had no idea. I just took them for granted.
What's his Instagram?
Last Resort Toys. All right, maybe just Last Resort.
Last Resort Toys out there. Yeah.
I think Food Fighters would get me to buy stuff.
So if you look up Combat Creatures on Kickstarter, that's the like 6-inch quote unquote Battle Beasts.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, okay. So those are kind of cool, but definitely I would much rather have not that.
Oh, I'm not getting them, but like that's what's coming, you know, out there.
Like those are really cool, and like they're the more I scroll down, the cooler they get. But still, I really just want more of those, you know.
It really looks like tiny creatures. They're reusing. Looks like they have interchangeable armor parts, and then they're just they have two different buck bodies that they're using.
Yeah.
With a couple of, like, you know, different heads and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited for a Savage Crucible. I backed that. I'm waiting for
Oh, if you backed a Kickstarter, you get a 3D printer file to create the enjoy the stylized mini BB figures patterned after the popular designs from the 80s toys. So they took this six and a half inch creature and made it a battle beast, and they're giving you the 3D printable files, which is kind of cool.
I was really into another cartoon. We had this channel called Channel 40, and it was like we didn't have cable, so it was one of the few channels that had cartoons on it regularly. And I'd get home from school, and it'd be Denver the Last Dinosaur, it'd be the whole dinosaur stuff, it'd be but on the weekends they did Saber Rider. They had like Japanese toys, so they had Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs, which I was obsessed with as a kid, and Robotech. Or maybe it was a Robotech or the Macross. I can't remember.
ExoSquad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was Robocross. Robotech in the States,
yeah,
I think, right? And because Macross is the anime,
but that was kind of my first intro into like Japanese animation. But I was super into Saber Rider and that whole thing. There was like a live action show that I've been killing myself trying to remember the name of, and it was like around that same era, and they had a truck, I think, and I'm not gonna even be able to explain it. I want to say the car like lived in the truck, and then the car would come out of the truck, and they were like they were kind of sci-fi. The main dudes were sci-fi kind of, but it was modern day 80s.
Was it anime?
No, this is live action. And I've got this blip of a memory of it. It's like Max Headroom was still around. Like this was that era of TV shows. And I think maybe like Knight Rider and all that stuff was still on too.
Was it Auto Man? Remember that?
Auto Man.
That was like the guy that transformed into a car.
Oh, yeah. The highway. It might have been Highwayman.
Oh my god! I just pulled that up. Starring Sam Jones.
It might be the Highwayman. I'm only seeing one picture though.
I'm watching a video.
That was it. I remember his buddy, his looked like his Popeye looking dude.
Shotgun from the hip.
Why does this look like Land, Thunder, and Paradise?
This is amazing. I'm so happy I found this. I'm probably gonna watch some videos and be like, why has this been like plaguing me?
This looks terrible, man. This looks terrible.
This looks terribly awesome. Into
it when it was out when I was a kid.
But think about it. Like, we had cool stuff. Like, think about how cool this would have been back in the 80s.
That truck is badass. Would you not want... Did you see the truck? Like, would you not want that on your shelf? That's pretty cool.
It's freaking Hot Rod. It's Rodimus Prime, dude.
Yeah, kind of, I mean...
That's Rodimus Prime, dude.
I guess it is a little bit Rodimus Prime, yeah. Rodimus Prime with these... But this is... I think it's
Sam Jones.
I think it predates...
It's Flash Gordon.
I'm leaving this tab open so I can dive deeper into this. Flash. this insanity.
In case you forget, Brody, it's got Flash Gordon in it, so now you know how to find it.
It's got what? Oh, Flash Gordon. Yeah. The actor. Yeah. I think I remember it now. I don't know why I never just looked up truck sci-fi 80s.
The reality is there's a number of times
and I'm like, how do I find this thing that's plaguing me? Like, I remember being
Funny. I've done that a number of times where, like, I know I've Googled things, and then, like, 5 years later, I Google the same thing, and then I finally find what I'm looking for, and I'm like,
or you're very, like, detailed and specific, and you find nothing, and then you're just like very generic and broad, and you're like, that's it.
Space truck drive, old. Beep. Highwayman, here we come.